Instant Illumination, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California. I'm unmoved by the current of the outer world. Very good. Okay. As I was walking the path this morning, I came to the gate, the west-north gate on our property, and it was wide open. And I made a little grr, and then I went over to look at the gate. And here the gate had been unscrewed from the lock, unbolted from the locks. It had been physically, so that the locks were of no benefit, which is okay. But whoever went through that gate left it wide open. Not only wide open, but wide, wide open. It was fully wide open. And all the big tracks coming through there were just enough to make you think, I'm smoothing this thing out, and they're making big tracks on this and doing these things. And then I walked along with Rex, and he was free. And he was checking everything and having a good time. And then I walked up, and I saw the two Border Patrol trucks up ahead of me. And I put Rex on the leash. And then we walked up there, and the Border Patrol trucks were in the middle of the road. One was in the middle of our road, and the other in the middle of the special road that goes back into the BLM property. And parked right there, and I could hardly squeeze through. On the other side were the bushes, and on the other side was the truck. And I could hardly squeeze through between the truck and that with Rex on me. And Rex, of course, had to check everything out. And so I went over to my stool, my bench there that I like to sit on, which is falling apart. And I sat on it, and there were these two big trucks sitting right there in front of me, in the middle of my meditation path, in the middle of my property, you know. And I thought to myself, grr, you know. And so then I said, Rex, we're going to relax, aren't we? I said, Rex, you deserve another cookie. So he got another cookie, and he didn't mind that at all. And so then we got up after a few seconds, where I normally sit for a minute or two and meditate, you know. We got up and continued on our way. And Rex kept turning around, looking back to see what those guys were doing. And they were nowhere in sight because they were off on the ground. And then as I came to the top of the hill, I thought to myself, you know, the hermits are not really so stupid. The hermits live in a conscious awareness of their purity and their goodness. And they go to their cave, wherever it may be, and they live in that cave where they get the water from, where they get the toilet from, where they get the warmth from, or whatever. I don't know. It'd be interesting to investigate. We have a cave here. I might try that sometime. And they live in the cave, hopefully that nobody else knows they're there. So nobody else comes up and bothers them and takes their time. Now, one thing that we teach here at the University of Healing, Absolute Monastery, Church of God Unlimited, and all the other names we have for our various divisions, we teach living in the now. And living in the now does not allow for thinking about the past, does not allow for me telling a story about the Border Patrol trucks even. It does not allow for me to be even upset for a minute, because everything that I experience, I create by my thinking. And we have created some interesting things in the last few days here with the people coming across the border with great loads of marijuana and putting it again right under the bush that they had put it under before. And so we don't want that. We don't want that on our property and in our area. It is not good. They can go wherever they want and do their thing, but not in our world. You see, and now, how could they get into our world? Well, they get into our world by people. When I talk to people, they say, I heard you had big fires over there. I heard you had this. I heard you had... What? Why am I thinking these thoughts that make them think the thoughts to ask me the question when I'm with them? You see? The hermit would not have that problem. He would live totally in the now. He would live totally in the awareness of his divinity, and he would be unmoved by the currents of the outer world. And the currents of the outer world would not exist for him. Now, can the currents of the outer world not exist for you? Can you be so aloof, so into your own magical space, that the currents of the outer world do not exist for you? And the statement goes on here, I am invisible to its power. Well, I am the one who gives it the power by my attention. And if I'm invisible to my attention, I don't want to do that. I want to be visible to my attention. I want to know what things I'm thinking about. And I'm thinking about wholeness and perfection, right action, peace and truth. And it's interesting that this morning, as I'm going through these various things, we're having several phone calls from people who are having difficult experiences in their life. And so we work with them, giving them positive statements. And the thing that I mentioned most to them, as I mentioned to everybody else, is do not empower the problem by telling it to anyone. Do not empower the problem by telling it to anyone. Do not empower the problem by telling it to anybody. Now, you see, not even you, Herb? Well, if you can come to me and say, Herb, treat for me that I'm whole and perfect, I'd say, wow, you're whole and perfect, you're fantastic, go. You say, but, no. What do you want my consciousness recognizing you're whole and perfect? Or do you want me to put my hand on you and say, out, miserable, whatever, you know, and you're whole and perfect? Or do you want me to hold your hand and say, oh, tell me some more of your sad, sad tale, and then you feel sadder telling the sad, sad tale. You don't get better telling the sad, sad tale. You get better. And so we don't want to get worse. We want to speak our word for the truth, our original purity and integrity. That's what the hermit, I think, is working on, his original purity and integrity. And, hey, that's cool. That's really cool and beautiful. Are you interested in that? You see, we learn this truth, we learn these principles, we learn how important these things are, and we learn what they can do for us and do for the world, and we say, wow, that's great. And then comes the test. Then comes you're being fortified. You're being checked to see if you really believe it. I do this with everyone very often, and I make stupid statements. And they say, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong. Don't fight it. Just say, that's interesting. I am untouched by a false statement. I am untouched by anything that is not true, that I know is not true. I am untouched. But you're touched. And as long as you're touched, then the world still presses your buttons. San Francisco is south of San Diego. It's down near Mexico City. You know that. That's interesting. Not, that's wrong. That's interesting. Can you be fanciful? Can you be imaginative? Can you be creative? Can you do things that are fantastic? And, hey, but that's not the truth. How do you know it's not the truth? How do you know? How do you know that perhaps your illusionary world might be different from other people's illusionary world? In other people's illusionary world, San Francisco may be south of Mexico City. Now, I'm putting that way down there, so that it really shakes you up. But where's the rest of the United States? Well, wherever the rest of the United States is. Is Mexico one as the United States? Mm-hmm. Are there any borders in any nations in the world? Getting around that pretty soon. In Europe, with the Euro program, they want to dissolve the border passes. They want to dissolve all these things. And pretty soon, the countries will be becoming more and more harmonious with each other. And pretty soon, they'll be one, the united. But you see, you don't want to have it be united. You want to have it be the all. You see, to be united still is separate. The United States are separate states in one country, okay? And you want it to be a one country where there is no north, no south, no east, no west. Everybody is one, and all is in perfect divine order. You see, when you get to that state of consciousness, you have arisen to a pretty wonderful state of consciousness. You, who lived in Europe, you say, no way Italy ever going to say that it is Switzerland, and Switzerland going to say that it is England and stuff like that. No way. That's not the point. They're not going to say that. They're going to say, I am all. I am one. And in that oneness, there is no separateness. And in that oneness, there is no individuality. There's only one. Now, you cannot think about that yet. You cannot conceive that yet because you're still afraid of having San Francisco south of Mexico City in your imagination. That's not so. Well, so what? That's not so. You want to get into the consciousness that it doesn't bother you. You see, here we have the statement. I am unmoved by the currents of the outer world. And if the currents of the outer world says, San Francisco is here, San Diego is here, Mexico City is here, and never shall the three be in any different location, well, hey, you know, it'd take a lot of paperwork. They have to reprint the stationery and stuff. But what if Mexico City was called San Francisco, Mexico, you know? And what if San Diego were called Belmont, Washington, you know? And what if Washington, D.C. were called Switzerland? You know? Interesting, huh? Now, can you handle that? No. Because you are so into the traditional bound ideas of that what is, what you sees is what you get. And that is so very unfortunate. We want to be living in the now and be happy in the now. When you live in this moment now, and you're sitting at your breakfast table in this moment now, and you're eating your breakfast and talking, are you the slightest bit concerned about who's eating breakfast in New York? Mm-mm. You haven't the biggest idea. And I just called one of our students in Switzerland, Gertrude Suter, and I said, Gertrude, how are you doing? She says, wonderful. And I said, well, we're here at the breakfast table. She says, well, I have my dinner sitting in front of me waiting for me to eat it. It's 5 o'clock or 5:30 here, and it was 8:30 here. But you see, did we think that she was having her dinner? Did we think that she was getting ready to do that and that we were having our breakfast? You know, no. Time is unimportant. Did she say, oh, I'm so tired, I've had a long day? Or did we say, oh, I'm so full of energy, I just had a good sleep? You see, now is the only moment. When I talked with her, did I think that she was 5:30 in the morning? No. In the evening? When I talked with her, did I think that she was far away? No. She is as close as my voice, as close as my heart. When I talked to Stefan or anybody else, they're as close as my heart. And that's in the now. When we can train ourselves to really live in the now, what a wonderful thing. Eckhart Tolle wrote those books on the now, which are so dynamic and so powerful, but my goodness, it's very hard to digest. And the hard to digest part is that he makes it so intellectual and so intensive. It's beautiful, but it's so intensive. Is there anybody else who's going to write a book on now that it will be now based and will live in the thought that here I am talking to Gertrude Suter in Switzerland and she is talking to me at Campo and we don't even think a thing about it. And she doesn't have, she just has a telephone by her ear and I have a telephone by mine and we're talking back and forth just as though we're sitting in the same room. And that will pass. That will pass. As technology grows, we'll soon be sitting in the same room. We will dial the phone, and they'll say, before they answer it, oh, it's Ellen. Ellen, could you wait just a minute? I'm putting my robe on, you know. And so Ellen waits a moment, she puts her robe on, and then, poof, Ellen is sitting right there with her talking, you see? And why not? Why not? You see, that's living in the now. And the movie Being There was so beautifully expressing that. And also, everybody else, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, perfect speed is being there, right? Mm-hmm. You see, these are universal concepts and terms that we have not really bought in our own heart. And when we buy them in our own heart and believe them in our own heart, we will enjoy them in our own heart. Aren't you wonderful?
Yes.
This phrase here, I am unmoved by the currents of the outer world, I am invisible to its power, came from Elaine, daughter of Avalon, with Joan Fiercy. I think that's the last one of her quotes that I have taken from her. She's quite an amazing lady. I was supposed to have the privilege of meeting her in when I was in New Jersey, but it didn't work out. Maybe another time. If she is anything like her book, she must be a pure angel. And she is. I'm unmoved by the currents of the outer world. How about you? Are you unmoved by the currents of the outer world? If so, tell the outer world, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Love you.